Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
I'm an 80s baby, so that makes me kind of old. But back in the 80s, you could keep a pet dog outside and it was okay. Like, you weren't at risk of having animal services arrest you. It was totally normal. God bless you. We had a dog at our house for a total of like 3 weeks. Like, my mom was like, "That's a kid. Y'all ain't taking care of yourself." It was just me and my sister, and she was like, "I don't need three today." And so that's how long I had a pet puppy. But I had a neighbor. His name was Brian. He was not friendly. At all. We had a little posse, like a motley crew of friends. We all hung together, James, Seth, me, Reggie. It was a whole bunch of us, right? We had a great time. It was actually a very multicultural motley crew too, right? Like, it was Native American, it was Asian, it was me, you know, mainstream James, you know what I'm saying? It was great, it was really cool. And we all hung out together. Well, James and Seth were brothers, and James and I, we were really tight. But James was a bit of a daredevil. Brian, he just didn't make it in the cut. He was just always mean and very sadistic, sarcastic kind of. He was the same way with his dog, Rex. Yeah, Rex, that was the name of the dog. Rex, I will not forget Rex. I can't tell you what kind of dog Rex was. I'm just not that skilled. But I do know he was muscular. And ferocious. I don't know if I saw foam or not, but I know I saw something come out of his mouth, and it was juicy, and I did not like it. And he was an outside dog that was on a spike and a chain. I was wondering why they never called him Spike, because he was on a spike, but whatever. He had a spike collar, but his name was Rex, like T-Rex, I guess. Point being, his chain only took him so far. Like, he would run full speed at you when you got to the edge of Brian, the one that nobody liked, got to the edge of his yard. Rex would run full speed until the end of that chain. And he knew when the chain would end. He had learned after a few times, he had learned, you know, where the chain would end. So he would literally all the way to the end, and he would stop and like stare at you like right there every time. I had wisdom as a kid. It was born in me, you know. Foolishness was not in my repertoire for greatness, right? I didn't want to be known as great foolish. I did not want to be known as that. James, on the other hand, he was more risky. He always was at the edge of stuff. And he would go to literally right here, to Rex's chain point, and stand and go, right? I didn't want Rex's slobber on me. I was not going to stand there and wait to see if he was gonna break every chain. Hashtag Tasha Cobbs, right? I didn't want to find out. So I'd be a block away talking about, James, don't do it, that's foolish, you know? So one day, normal fashion, we got to pass Brian's house. I'm on that side of the street. James is walking across the street to that line, like that line. And as he's going to the line, Rex is, you know, he's like perks up, ears up, and he's about to gallop. I see it coming. Terror grips me. I'm unable to speak because I then realize the spike is out of the ground. Yeah, that. And here's James. Right? He didn't have that much swagger, but he was walking towards that line. And I mean, I'm just being real. I can't lie. I'm preaching. And he gets to the line, and he's taken his position of taunting. and here's Rex. And I'm sitting there going, I am, yes, terrified. Seth, his older brother, goes into laughter as he notices.
Oh, this is gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
I'm looking like, Reggie was already running home. He was scared, crying. At least I stayed where I was, terrified. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not an advocate for stand your ground, but that was, anyway, that's another topic. I stood there, and here's Rex, inching towards the chain's end. And I can see it playing out in my mind, the limbs flying from my friend as he's in his taunting position. Just, arm flying. That's the sound James would make. And so an amazing thing happened. Rex stopped at his normal point where the chain would have stopped him. And he stood there just growling and looking at James, barking at him ferociously as James is going, completely unaware the spike is out of the ground. Rex is free, but he didn't know it. James didn't know it either. But Rex wouldn't even take one step forward past the place where he knew the chain had held him. He just wouldn't do it. He would back up and step forward to that line. He would even sway sideways to the circle area, the radius of where the chain would let him go, but he would not cross that line. He had known. You could look at the dust and see how far he could go before. He knew it too, but he wouldn't cross it because he didn't know he was free. I tell you this story because the same is true for a lot of people today, especially those who claim to know Christ. They seem to be living their life as though they're still living with the chain and spike in the ground. I'm saying this to you because some of you live your life the exact same way when you go out into the world to reflect freedom in Christ Jesus and you make the intentional choice to get up and leave chapel and live like you're not set free. It's really sad. Like, honestly, a couple of days later when I was at my house in safety, I felt bad for Rex. I was like, should I tell Brian to put the spike back? No. I don't like Rex. If he's free, he can be somebody else's friend. But honestly, it really hit me that day, just how crazy James was. But as I reflected on the message today, I was thinking about what story I could share with you to help connect, right? And I thought about that day with Rex. And then I began to look at myself and those closest to me and say, how are we living set free? How are we living made free? And what in our life, what in our time and life are spikes in the ground that Christ has pulled up that we want to live like it's still there? I can't tell you what your spike is. We're not that close yet. I can't tell you how far your chain ran before you knew Jesus. I don't know how deep your sin was. But let me tell you who does. Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Spirit, the one God loves and knows you perfectly. If he knows the sparrows well, guess what? He knows the hairs on your head. He has them all numbered. And he can subtract. But you have to understand this. In the text we're going to walk through today, Jesus talks about real freedom. And the only way to get real freedom, the only real spike removal, chain release, hashtag Tasha Cobbs, the only way that really takes place. And no, that's not by following earthly standards and protocols. No, that's not by adopting trendy activities, verbiage, or habits. No, that's specifically being made free to live the way God created you to, in Him, for Him, and by Him, because anything else is simply spike and chain. It's going to have its flaws. It's going to have its problems, and it's going to have its restraints. But I want to be very clear with you. Christ makes you free, not free to sin, but free from sin. See, this is the problem with a lot of people today, and I'm not going to say young people, it's all people. People take grace for granted. Paul talks about it over and over in Romans. They want to take grace for granted. That's simply a misunderstanding of the truth of the power of the gospel. What I want you to understand is Christ sets you free to not be bound by the sin that you're in, but free to live by Him, not held back by shame, not held back by guilt, not held back by the consequences of what you have done or want to do, because even thinking about it is sinful. But free to live for Him, by Him, with Him, which is far better. Abundant life isn't about stuff. Stop quoting that and saying, I need a new iPad Pro. What you need to do is remember that abundant life is with Him and that the kingdom is not here. If you're trying to get a whole bunch of stuff and build up your kingdom here, then you messed up the quote unquote model prayer by Jesus, also known as the Lord's Prayer. Because if you pray, thy kingdom come, then your kingdom has to go. The problem is that too many people want to build up their stuff, build up their walls, build up their moats, build up their securities, and keep everybody else away. Yes, some people misinterpreted my last message and want to think I was talking about somebody else's wall. No, I'm talking about your own wall. If you want to apply it to that wall, go ahead. But I'm telling you right now, when you create your kingdom here, you're disrespecting the kingdom that already is. And you're disrespecting the King who already is and always was and always will be. The question is, do you know Him? And if you know Him, then you're already free. Because that is eternal life, is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent, John 17:3. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 21. I'll move quick because the timer is going to come on a chocolate preacher soon. And it already is. So I'm going to move quickly through the text. John 8:21. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Why is he saying this, right? Where he plans on going to? No sin there. No man-made stuff. You know the only one man-made thing in heaven? There's one man-made thing in heaven. Look. The high degree folks look at me like, what are you about to say? That ain't doctrinal. Jesus got pierced hands, doesn't he? And feet. It's the one man-made thing in heaven. Sin can't go there.
So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where you go, I cannot come?
Ignoramus, you clearly don't know Jesus.
And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
Okay, there we go. That's enough said. He could have walked away, but he loved enough to stay and finish, so I will too.
Then they said to him,
who are you? What a great question. What a great question. You know what? I think if we ask that question to ourselves daily, we'll have a better relationship with him. Today, Jesus, no, as a matter of fact, let him ask you the question. Who am I to you? I want you to picture this just for a moment. I'm going to continue because the timer's on me. Imagine being in Starbucks or the coffee shop here on campus, right? Having yourself a sip of something hot, warm, or ice, chilled, whatever you prefer. And you're reading whatever you enjoy or don't. You just have to read it for class. And as you're reading, this guy with a blue sash comes and sits beside you. He probably looks different than you imagine. And when he sits down, you put whatever you're reading down and your coffee too. And he leans forward and he says, hey, let's define the relationship. You want to really see if your quote-unquote special person likes you? DTR. Define the relationship. Well, we're on this, no definitions. We don't want to give labels.
Back to the word.
We just talking.
Talking?
I done bought three meals. We talking? I can talk for free.
All right. I'm an 80s baby. Forgive me. I got to preach. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father.
Of course they didn't understand. You could take just the first four words and be clear. They did not understand. Yeah, you're right. They didn't understand.
Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself.
You know what's powerful about that? Remember the Roman centurion who was standing there as Jesus breathed his last and said, it is finished, because it was finished. Atonement was complete. You can't do anything else to add to it. You can't take away from it. It's finished. It's done. You know what that centurion realized? This truly is the Son of God. He says so. Read your Bible. This was a pagan, a Gentile, who looked at the crucified Savior and said, this truly is the Son of God. And he says it right there, that you will know. What's crazy is that centurion had seen hundreds of crucifixions. He had seen men squirm and wail out and cry out, wet themselves. Probably manure management was a part of his job. But you got to think about it. This guy had seen many people at their last moments. And what did Jesus do? Exceedingly different. He commissioned the care of his mother to his best friend. He cried out for his father, and he breathed out forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Lifting up just to breathe. Father, forgive them. This centurion was moved by the truth on the cross. And we dare not be moved by the truth in the book and by the Spirit of God in our presence.
I'm going to get back to the word. Verse 30, and he spoke these words. Many believed in him. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him.
Now, take note, that's important. Mind you, there's a lot of people there. Some don't understand, some not getting it, a lot of them arguing. Who are you? Okay, keep yourself. Calm down. That's the Lord, right? But to those that believed, now that's who he's talking to.
If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My first point
is that truth breaks bondage. Truth breaks bondage.
You see, Jesus gives blessed hope and promises to believers in his name. In his name, no other name, no other way, no other fashion.
When Jesus says, I am the way, he means that. Definite article in the Hebrew sense. The only one, the only way. There's no other option. I don't care how much you like Oprah. There's only one way to God, Jesus, all right? And I'm trying to get you to feel this because it's important to know that truth breaks bondage. Let's look at the response. Now remember, he's talking to those who believed in him. 33.
They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?
Now that's funny to me. Who's ruling over them at this time? Like, who's in charge? Is it a Jewish king ruling over them at the moment? Is it known as Abinadab's temple? No, that's Herod's temple. That guy wasn't Jewish. I want y'all to see this. These people tell me, we're not in bondage. I mean, Jesus don't backhand enough. I'd have been like, shut up. I'm just kidding. I'm not abusive. But I think it's hilarious, right? Like, what in the world are you talking about? So Jesus clarifies such grace. When you pray and thank God for grace, pause. Let me give you some more practical application real quick. You ready? Because a lot of you pray and thank God, thank you for the love and grace you gave us. Okay, when you say the word grace, pause. And you know what the difference in grace and mercy is, right? Do y'all understand this? What's the difference in grace and mercy? Grace is what you... Okay, hear me help. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. What is mercy? Mercy is keeping from you what you do deserve. So when you thank God for his grace and his mercy, pause and think about be specific when you pray. Think about when you're asking him, Lord, please, I need your grace today. For what? Be specific. That's going to overcome sin. To try and hide it and not talk about it as if God don't already know sovereignty much. I mean, come on. You're not going to surprise God. You think when you confess your sin, he goes, oh, I can't believe you did that. No. God is not shocked. Oh, you thought that? Knowing the truth will break the bondage that's holding you back from even repenting from the sin that you are currently in. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Romans 6:16, Paul says the exact same thing. He was reminding believers in Rome, he's talking to them, he said, hey, you're a slave to that which you obey. If you keep obeying sin, that's who's got you held back. That's who owns you. That's who's got your spike. It doesn't matter if it's pornography or jeweling. I don't care what it is, right? If whatever it is that's holding you back, you're done. I know that's mostly middle schoolers, but I thought I'd throw it out there. But I wanted you to see it doesn't matter what it is. Fornication, jealousy, hatred, unforgiveness. That's a big one, by the way. It burdens me so much how many, especially in believer circles, who will hold unforgiveness. Like, how are you reflecting the love of Jesus? You can't forgive someone who claims Jesus too. What are you going to do when you get outside to a non-believer? No wonder nobody's coming to hang out with you who's not a believer. That's another topic. Verse 35. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Verse 36, and I'm closing. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. My second point is Jesus is the truth. I know a lot of folks quote John 14:6. I know they do. But do you believe that? Have you come to see that everything not only he said is true, but he is true? Virgin born, placed in Mary, here before, created all things. Timeless, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, wonderful, the mighty God. Now, enough people talk about Jesus being the Messiah. He is the prophesied one who came and who is the Savior. He's God and Savior, prophet, priest, and king, truth. Define the relationship. We want to look at Jesus like this. Now, when I look at his face, I'm looking like this. I need binoculars. But I think about that he came to this place for us so that we could be set free to live. My last point,
being made free releases you to fulfill your destiny. Being made free releases you to fulfill your destiny. I love on this last song we sang, it talked about our destiny and how he changed it with that drop of blood that fell to the ground. Hashtag real talk. Because we deserve hell. We do. We deserve eternal separation and condemnation. Why? Because of sin. If you have not sinned, keep your hand down. Okay. I was about to say, Holy Spirit, get him! Get him! Make y'all listen more. It's a crying shame that we'll have the audacity to question a holy, perfect, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God about his abilities, his truth, and his design for us, creation. And we have the audacity to think that we can be free enough without him. You have no idea how much sin holds you back and how much in our relationship with Jesus releases you to live set free. Losing sleep much? Talk to Jesus. Having a rough day? Talk to Jesus. Ask him for those real friends to be close to you. And I say this, and I'm really letting go. If you don't know him, there's a lot of holy folk walking around. You can know him. They'll help you get to him. I'm going to hang out up here too. But I want you to understand this. A bound life is not a good life. And there's a lot of bound folk with a whole lot of stuff. Think about the suicide rate for wealthy folk. Clearly, money ain't the answer. And I'm saying to you, don't assume that every person that's broke don't know Jesus. Because some people give up everything to live for and with him, present company included. And I say that to you because if you wish to have the full free life, there's only one way and one answer, and truth is that. And truth has a name. Hope has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. Savior has a name. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you. You're amazing. We need you daily. Nothing can be done apart from you. And Lord, I pray right now in your name that you be with us. There are some who left early. I don't know what gave them that inclination that they didn't need to hear that you were the truth. But Lord, I pray you still protect them. And I know you've already forgiven them. But Lord, for those who are here, who remain, Lord, I pray that your spirit move on them. I pray that those who are truly seeking you, that you come with them. May they feel you. May they know you. May you teach them more and reveal to them what you wish them to know so they can live made free in every facet of that truth, with truth. And Lord Jesus, I pray that as the Father conforms them into your image, that you be with them, that you speak to them, that you reveal yourself to them, and you help them to show you to all those who come in contact with them. Lord, we love you, and we trust you, and we need you. And we ask all of this in your holy, wonderful, magnificent name, full of grace, mercy, and truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.